Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Come on now, we're checking their watches. 25-minute message. Why don't you get your Bibles? Just keep playing there, brother. Sounds good. And then we'll read a scripture and then we'll pray. Matthew chapter 28. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to read verses 18 to 20. This is what it says. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm going to speak a message this morning about why men are needed for the mission. Let's say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit this moment to you. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you've already been doing. We believe that you are here in this room, moving by the power of your Holy Spirit. So God, we commit this time to you again. And Lord, as we go through your word now, we ask you to speak to us in a very clear way. Lord, let us hear your voice, and not just the voice of a man. Lord God, come and do whatever is on your heart to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You can be seated this morning. Why men are needed for the mission. There is a commission, a mission, and a vision. A commission, a mission, and a vision. Just say those words. There is a commission, a mission, and a vision. That's it. Commission. This passage of scripture that we just read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, have been called the Great Commission. It was like the final instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended to heaven. He said this, he told his disciples this, make disciples of every nation. And we as the church believe and have believed over the centuries that this commission wasn't just for those 11 men who were gathered with him in that moment, but that this commission, these instructions were for every Christian, every believer, that this is the commission of Christ to every one of us, whoever you are, make disciples of every nation. Disciples, disciples. That's where we get the word discipleship from. But what is that? What is discipleship? I don't believe that Jesus was there at that moment, speaking to those 11 men, turning to Peter and saying, Peter, go and make disciples of Peter. And then turning to John and saying, and you, John, you go and make disciples of John. And then to Thomas, and Thomas, you go and make disciples of Thomas. I don't believe that's what he was doing. This word disciple means a learner. And what he was saying is this, go and make disciples. Go and make learners, disciples of me. The Great Commission is not to make disciples of ourselves. The Great Commission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Men and women who are learning from Jesus every day of their lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said this phrase, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now, I don't believe that when he said that, I don't believe he was saying, okay, I'm going to imitate Christ, and you look at me and imitate me. Because if he was saying that, he'd basically be saying, I'm going to put my eyes on Jesus, but you don't put your eyes on Jesus, put your eyes on me. I don't think that's biblical. I don't think that's what Paul was saying. I don't think that's what that phrase means. Imitate me as I imitate Christ doesn't mean I'm going to imitate Christ and you're going to imitate me. What it means is this. Watch me as I imitate Christ. And as you see me imitate Christ, you imitate Christ too. Yeah? Watch how I focus on Christ in every situation. And as you see how I focus on Christ in every situation, then you also focus on Christ in every situation, just like I'm doing. That's what discipleship is. Whenever I allow someone who is newer in the faith than me to be around me, that's what I'm praying for. As I have them around me, as I'm living life, I have them around me as I'm facing situations. I have them around me as I'm reading the Bible or discussing the Bible. I have them around me as I'm building ministry. What I'm hoping is that as they're around me, hopefully what they'll see is how I'm relying on Jesus in everything I do. Hopefully they'll see me relying on Jesus in the way that I deal with my family. Hopefully they'll see me relying on Jesus in the way that I do ministry. And my hope and my prayer is that as they see me relying on Jesus, they will begin to rely on Jesus in their life too. I don't see a man who I'm working with as my disciple. He's Christ's disciple. He is a disciple of Christ. And I'm just trying to help him to be a disciple of Christ. I remember when it was me and two of my brothers here in the church, and we were in a car, and we had had a long day, and we were driving down some windy, dark country road, when suddenly I went over the edge of some broken bit of the road and blew two tires, not one. Two, and there we are, stuck on this dark, windy road. The sun is going down. No one's around, and we're just there with two blown tires. I didn't have loads of money in my bank account at the time, and I'm thinking, how are we going to get through this? But something just like clicked in my mind in that moment. And I realized if I start panicking, if I start getting in the flesh, if I have a bad attitude, these two fellas are watching that. This situation is a prime situation for discipleship. So I said, listen, fellas, the first thing we need to do right now, we need to pray. So we turned off the, we turned off the engine, and we just began to pray. God, help. And then from there, we started discussing, talking about what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, how we're going to solve this problem. It all worked out about 2 or 3 hours later. It all worked out. We got home, or 4 hours. We got home. But by the end of that time, I had a peace in my heart that these men had seen someone relying on Jesus in an unexpected, difficult situation. That is discipleship, and that is the commission. The commission is that we make disciples of every nation. That's the next thing, the mission. The commission. The mission is part of the commission. So what is the mission? Jesus said, make disciples of every nation. Every nation. Now, back then when he said this about 2,000 years ago, we didn't have nation states like we do now. France and Poland and Hungary and Cambodia and wherever else. That wasn't quite how the world was organized. So what did he mean when he was saying every nation. The actual Greek word he used is ethnos, and that's where we get our English word ethnic. When he was saying every nation, he was saying every people group, every kind of people. Make disciples of every demographic. Go into all the world and make disciples of every different kind of group of people that there are. Now, no one person can do that alone. No one person, no matter how charismatic or gifted you are, no one person is able to reach every single different kind of people group. No one person can do it alone. In fact, no one church can do it alone. In fact, no one denomination can do it alone. To fulfill the commission by going to every different kind of people group, it takes the whole body of Christ. Every church, every one of us has to work together. Wherever you are, if you're a Hillsong, if you're Elevation, if you're Baptist, if you're Methodist, if you're Church of England, if we are going to see the mission done, if we're going to see the commission fulfilled, it's going to take all of us, the whole body of Christ. But the way that works is this: each part of the body of Christ has their part to play. Each part of the body of Christ has their group to reach. See, I think there's something wrong if churches are growing only because people left another church to grow it. Now, I came from another church. I got saved in my mum's church, an apostolic church, which was very strict. But that's where my first experiences of the Lord were, right there in my mum's church. And after 5 years in my mum's church, I felt deeply that God called me to Victory Outreach. And that's what happens sometimes. Many of us here may have got saved in another church, and somehow we found ourselves here in Victory Outreach. That's fine. That's great. But let me ask you this question. Where are the brand new Christians? Where are the brand new Christians? Not the ones who moved from one church to another church. Where are the ones that were never in a church? Where are all the people that were never part of a church? Where are they? I believe that just as every part of the body of Christ has their mission to accomplish, their people group to reach, we as Victory Outreach have our mission too. We have our group to reach. There is a group of people, there is a kind of people that we as Victory Outreach are called to reach. And I can sum up that group of people in one simple sentence. We as Victory Outreach are called to reach the hurting people of the inner cities of the world. That's our group. That's who Victory Outreach is called to reach. The hurting people of the inner cities of the world. See, I know the suburbs need the gospel. They do. The suburbs, don't be put off by the fact that some of the suburbs look all nice and leafy and green and everyone has their dog called Spot and their white picket fence, as it were. Because some of the things going on in the suburbs are crazy. The suburbs need the gospel. Not only do the suburbs need the gospel, but the rural communities need the gospel. The farms need the gospel. Villages need the gospel. Those little hamlets, they need the gospel. In fact, people on remote islands need the gospel. In islands that are lost, far flung in the South Pacific somewhere, they need the gospel too. But everyone has their part to play. As Victory Outreach, our part isn't the remote islands. As Victory Outreach, our part isn't the rural community. As Victory Outreach, our part, our mission in the commission is the inner cities. And not just one inner city, the inner cities of the world. That's what God has given us to do. It's going to take the whole body of Christ, everyone doing their part. Don't be doing someone else's part. Do your part. And our part as Victory Outreach is to reach the hurting people of the inner cities of the world. The inner cities are our mission. We are an inner city church with an inner city mission. When we are doing our part of the Great Commission, it's in the inner cities of the world. But not only is there a commission and a mission, there's a commission, there's a mission, and there's a vision. And this is where sometimes people get confused. What's the difference between a mission and a vision? Well, vision is all about seeing. Seeing. You know when you go to the opticians and they check your eyes out and they're checking the vision ability in each eye. They get that phrase, don't they? 20/20 vision. That's when both eyes are seeing perfectly, clearly. 20/20 clarity of vision. You can see clearly. I used to be able to go all the way down that little thing. X, Y, Z, P, I used to go all the way to the bottom and feel good about it. Nowadays, about halfway through, I'm like, B, R, I don't know. What is that? Just old age. I'm 42. And I love it. Vision is about seeing. So this is the question. If vision is about seeing, what does it look like when we are fulfilling our mission? What does it look like? What does it look like when Victory Outreach is reaching the hurting people of the inner cities of the world? What does it look like when Victory Outreach is doing our part in making disciples of Christ? What does it look like when we are doing what we are called to do? Put that video on.
I had not just
take the sound sick. Off. In this video, what do we see? We see our pastor, Pastor Paul, right? In this video, we see an ex-drug addict from the hard streets of inner city East London. We see a man who is now a pastor in Manchester. And not only a pastor in Manchester, we see a man who is a pastor of pastors in the UK and Germany. And what is he doing there at this Mighty Men of Valor conference that happened just the other week? Right there, he is preaching to thousands of men. Men who are on fire for Christ. Many of these men who he's preaching to were also ex-drug addicts. Many of the men he's preaching to were gang members, as Marvin was telling us about. But they weren't just Mexicans.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vomanchester.org for more information.
And from Cape Town, and from Amsterdam, and from Sydney, and from Auckland, and from Mumbai, and from Manila, and from Guadalajara, and from Frankfurt, and from other cities. And all these men here that Pastor Paul is preaching to are all going to go back to their cities to keep reaching more hurting people in the inner cities of the world, making disciples of Christ. And this is a snapshot of what it looks like when we are doing what we are called to do. Keep the video on. I want you to catch this. There in our Mighty Men of Valor conference that happened, there were gathered about 5,000 to 6,000 men. Let's just say 5,000. That's just a small percentage of the men in our ministry around the whole world. That's just the men that could make it to the conference. But catch this. Of those 5,000, maybe 6,000 men who were gathered there in that auditorium, only 800 were residents of our men's homes. See, we have men's homes. homes where men and women's homes, where men and women are able to come in from backgrounds like drug backgrounds or alcohol backgrounds or even gangster backgrounds, and able to come in and they're able to get a revolution that happens in their life where they're completely transformed and where basically they become disciples of Christ. But in that auditorium, only 800 were from the homes. The other, 4,200, 5,200 were men just from our churches. Just regular men, young men, old men, middle-aged men, doctors and lawyers, policemen, plumbers, cashiers and educators and baristas and taxi drivers. These are the men that Pastor Paul's speaking to. Pastors and preachers, judges, they're all there. These are the guys who he's preaching to. And they were all on fire to reach the world for Jesus. It wasn't just men from the home. It was men from the church who were on fire to do their part in reaching the world for Jesus. So that's our commission and our mission and our vision. Now, where are you in this? Where are you? Where are you? Because regardless of whether you're a man or a woman, where are you? Maybe you're just a visitor today. Maybe you're just a guest. And if you are, we hope you're loving it. And we hope you come back. You're always welcome. We're grateful you're here. We really are. But some of us here feel called. Called to this church. Just like I was. When I felt that God moved me from my mother's church and brought me to Victory Outreach. And when he did that on the 1st of May, 1994, on my first Sunday when I sat on the back row down there in London, I knew in that moment that I had been called to this church. I didn't just pick this church off the shelf. God led me here. And if God led me here, then he led me to what it is that we are doing. He led me to this church, and therefore he placed me, rooted me, not only in him, not only in this church, but in the mission he's called our church to play. And ever since that day in 1994 till now, in 2019, I believe it with all my heart. If God moves me on to another ministry one day, that's on him because he's the great shepherd. It's the body of Christ, man. And he knows where he wants me. But he hasn't moved me on. All these years, he's kept me here. And he's kept reminding me that I'm committed, I'm called to this vision. Now listen to this. This is a little, forget the 25 minutes, guys, sorry. I tried, but I'm near the end. Listen to this. I found this on a website. Very interesting. Listen to this. Women comprise more than 60% of the adults in a typical worship service in America. Some overseas congregations report 10 women for every man in attendance. Volunteer ranks are heavily female. Let's hear it for the women. And I mean that. I ain't condescending for a second. I'm the son of a single mother, so I really believe in hearing it for the women. But listen to what it says as I keep reading on. No other religion suffers the enormous gender gaps that plague Christianity. It's not just attendance where men trail women. Men are less likely to lead, less likely to volunteer, less likely to give. Men pray less, share their faith less, and read the Bible less. The men who do go to church seem passive and bored. It's often impossible to get church-going men to do anything other than attend services. The church's gender gap is often invisible because the top tier of church leadership is still heavily male. Over 90% of Protestant pastors are male. But Leon, whoever this dude is, put it best. The modern church is an army of women led by a few male generals. Now, I'm not saying that that's true. That's what these people here that have done their research, have done their study. That's what they've come up with. Maybe it is true in many churches in America. And maybe it is true in many churches around the world. I don't believe that's true in Victory Outreach. I don't believe it is. I don't believe it's true that men aren't engaged, that men aren't involved. I just come from a conference where 6,000 possibly of us from all walks of life were gathered on fire, on fire, on fire. So in Victory Outreach as a whole, I'm not sure that applies to us. What do you think? What do you think? Do we have enough women involved in our mission? I say no. I say no. I think we need more women in our mission. I think we need more women catching a hold of this vision. I think we need to see more women on fire to disciple other women. I think we need to see more women on fire to rise as leaders in church and in community. I think we need more women. And you know what I also think? I think we need more men. I think we need more men. We need more men on fire to reach the world for Jesus. This website said that most men in church are bored and passive. Is that true? You tell me. You tell me. This website said that most men, it's hard to get them to do anything other than just come to church. Is that true? You tell me. You tell me. All I know is this, that I, as a man, am determined to be the best man that I can be. And if God called me to this church, I want to do my best. I want to give my heart. I want to see the giftings that I've got used to inspire other men and other women to play their role in being like Jesus. I want to disciple men. I want to train men. I want to work with men. I want to help men. Why am I so passionate about it? Because I came up without any men in my life. I know what it's like to have a life where there seems to be no men investing in you, where you become even insecure in who you are as a man. But I tell you this, church, here in May 2019, that's not who I am anymore. Jesus Christ has done a work deep inside me. I have been transformed deep in my spirit, and I am a stronger man today than I have ever been. And now I am committed to doing whatever I can to help other men do the same. Do we have enough men rising up? Do we have enough men willing to pay the price to be more like Jesus? Do we have enough men discipling other men? Do we have enough men who feel they are called to this? Called to this. See, I put it this way. My mother's a single mother. I watched how effective that woman was. I watched how resourceful my mother was. As she was there raising us kids at one point working three jobs to pay the bills. And then after three jobs, which started at 5 a.m., right up until 6 p.m., I saw her come home and get up the stove and cook food for us, sometimes falling asleep as she cooked. I know how strong, how resilient, how resourceful, how tireless, how committed a woman on fire can be. But I can't help wondering, how would her giftings have been used if there was a man doing his job there too? How much of her strength and her energy, her gifting, her potential, her talent could have been more focused if there was a man doing his job next to her? I'm not gonna be a man that's absent. So where are you today? Where are you today? And I laid it out pretty thick. Where are you today? If you're a woman here today, where are you today? Where are you today? Do you feel that you are fulfilling your potential? Do you feel that you are doing what God has called you to do? If you're a man here today, are you one of the passive men? One of the bored men? One of the men not engaged? Can you feel the stirring in your heart? Can you feel the stirring in your heart to give more, put more, get closer to Jesus? Can you feel the stirring in your heart? If you're not fulfilling your potential today, it's a new season. It's a new season. Right here today, you can begin to make the change. And if you feel intimidated, if you feel less than, if you feel you're like you're not sure that you can do it, you're not sure that you can walk the way that God's called you to walk, you're not sure that you can fulfill the calling on your life, you got God on your side. And what? You got God on your side. As the musicians come up, and as we stand to our feet, I feel a call going out today. And I prayed, and I was like, Lord, I feel really passionate about this, because I do. I feel really passionate about it. It's like, Lord, is it just my passion or is this yours? And I pray, if this is just my passion and it's not the Lord's, I pray that God removes anything that's not of him, that he takes it out. But if you have felt the Lord speaking to you today, if you have felt the stirring in your heart today, then today is the time to make the decision to change. Today is the day to make the decision to go to another level in your life, another level in your relationship with Christ, another level in discipleship, maybe even another level of leadership, because we cannot fulfill our part in the Great Commission alone. No one person, no one church can fulfill the commission alone. We need you. We need you. And we want to see you fulfilling the call of God on your life. begin right now to worship the Lord. Just begin right now to speak to the Lord in this place. Just begin to bless him. Hallelujah.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vomanchester.org for more information.